Major General Michael Leonard had completed many challenging assignments in more than 30 years of military service, but none quite like the order he got in January of 2002.
I had to put a task force together, fly to Cuba, build the first 100 cells within 96 hours of receiving that deployment order.
He and his team did the job in 87 hours, using materials already on hand.
Since building materials couldn't be shipped down in time, I stripped everything from the naval base I could get. Metal, wire mesh, anything to build these cages. And that's what they were.
But building was the easy part. Next came the challenge of governing the place. Under the Geneva Conventions, Leonard thought detainees should have Article 5 hearings.
If you pick someone up, you have a hearing to determine whether there's enough information to keep them as an enemy prisoner of war, or if there's a possibility that they may in fact be guilty of war crimes. In most cases, those things did not happen.
The Bush administration claimed these prisoners were not entitled to hearings, that they were the worst of the worst, but Leonard was skeptical.
Our lack of cultural awareness in Afghanistan made us easy marks for tribal leaders, because what we did was we paid for prisoners. Now, if you understand anything about the tribal culture, they go back a long ways. You know, my great-granddad killed your great-granddad and that type of thing. So we went to them and we said, we will pay you $3,000 to $25,000 depending upon how bad they are. And guess what? They found a lot of bad guys. Because they could get rich doing it.
One of those who was picked up and sent to Guantanamo was known as Wild Bill.
Wild Bill was an Afghan that was picked up on the battlefield, stark naked, with a white bird feather and a Kalashnikov rifle. He had been twice diagnosed in Afghanistan by our doctors as psychotic. However, he was sent anyway. And he would scream all day. He'd pick a single number each day, and he'd just scream that number over and over again, either in English or in Arabic or Pashto. And then he would throw his feces at the rest of the prisoners and the guards. And to say that it upset both the guards and the prisoners was an understatement. So I asked administration authorities for the basis upon which he was sent, since his mental state made any information that he might have deeply suspect. The response, by the way, from the folks in Washington was a deafening silence.
Meanwhile, military doctors began caring for the detainees who Leonard says suffered from a variety of medical problems.
Most of them were old injuries and diseases and frostbite. The medical support was provided by the U.S. Navy, and I will tell you that the job that those Navy corpsmen and those Navy doctors did was absolutely incredible, something that probably would have made you proud of them.
But Americans might not be so proud of the men and women charged with guarding the prisoners. Some were Marines, others members of the Army Reserve.
Most were from West Virginia and Southern Ohio. Many in the unit had some background as prison guards, but absolutely no cultural training. For most, the first Muslim they ever met was the detainees and the linguists who had been sent to interpret for them. They didn't trust either. For many, any soldier who spoke anything but English was suspect.
In our next report, we'll tell you how General Leonard tried to protect the prison population at Gitmo, why some politicians made the job difficult, and how Islam helped him to better manage the prison population. I'm Sandy Houseman.